Gospel according to John this morning. The bulletin says we'll start at verse 40. We'll actually start at verse 37 just to give us some context to catch us up where we were a few weeks ago. We shifted gears for Easter. I pray that you were blessed through the Easter season and holidays, focusing on the resurrected Lord. Jesus is everything. If you're using a Pew Bible, it's page 893, but this is the Gospel of John. Before we begin, let's pray and ask the Lord to teach us. And just as a note, I noticed some people in upstairs in the balcony. Today we are celebrating the Lord's Supper. So if you're a member in good standing in a gospel-believing church, trust the Lord as your Savior. Come down for communion when it's time for communion, just so you are aware of that. So let's pray before we begin. Father, Lord, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we need resurrection power. We need Jesus. Lord, some of us are tired. Some of us are weary. It was just hard to get here. Lord, I pray your Spirit would refresh them. Rekindle the flame in our hearts of love. Lord, we've come here not just to do a duty, but to give you praise, to give you our hearts, to give you our thanksgiving, to give you worship that is due you. And oh, you are so good. You're altogether beautiful. You're altogether righteous. You're altogether merciful. And Jesus, we praise you. So Spirit, we pray that you will come down, that you would teach us, you would open our hearts, you would open our minds to the truths this morning that we will talk about. We would walk with grace, with boldness, taking this message of the risen Lord to those around us, and trust your power, your Spirit, to awaken people to faith. So Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week was Easter Sunday, and if you recall, which maybe you don't because it's hard to remember, but I preached on from week to week. We talked about, since Christ was risen, you who trust in him will be risen as well. It is glorious news because our enemy death, Christ had defeated. Our final point last week was we were to learn this story, not only just to learn it, but to take it out, to share this good news of a Savior who saw us in our sin, who came to live in our place, to die in our place, to conquer sin, to conquer death, and take that out and tell people. We hear that sometimes, but when we hear that, for some of us, that is a hard thing to do, to start talking about Jesus to others. You just don't know how they'll respond, for one thing. Some respond with openness. They're ready to listen about your faith. Other times it could get heated. They could get upset. And they get upset because you are challenging their worldview. You may have saw the title in your bulletin, Worldviews in Crisis. You're challenging their worldview. What in the world is a worldview, Pastor Jeremy? Well, James Anderson, he helps us a little bit. He says a person's worldview presents the most fundamental beliefs and assumptions about the universe he inhabits. It reflects how someone would answer the big questions of human existence. Why am I here? Where did I come from? Why is everything seems like a mess? Why does there seem like there ought to be more? Where am I headed? Is there an afterlife? These are huge questions that need answered, and how you answer those will greatly affect how you live, how you treat other people. Jesus, as we have been going through John, has been answering these questions. Where did I come from? Jesus made me. So if you're someone who believes in evolution, that you just evolved from dust or a puddle or a slime or lightning, this is counterintuitive. This is in great conflict with what Jesus says. Jesus says, I made you. And I made you for a purpose, to bring glory, to reflect the image of God. What it means to be truly human If you believed you just evolved or you just happened by accident, you're just acting as your molecules and your cells are telling you to. You'll act differently. Jesus says you were made to love God and to love your neighbor. That is why you are here. If you just evolved or you just got here by accident, you can just do whatever you feel is right in your heart. Where am I heading? Jesus says there's eternal life, either with him or separated from God for all eternity. Jesus challenges our worldviews. What you believe about these big questions, how did I get here, why am I here, where am I going, will greatly affect how you live. And so Jesus radically answers them. And as you share your faith, as you share these things about Christ, you will be upsetting their worldview. These things that they've held to, these things that they've held to on all their lives, thinking this life was like this, and you're saying, no, there's something far better, something far greater. And it cuts them to the heart because it'll challenge them to turn. As you share your faith with others, as we go through this text, as you challenge your faith with others, as you challenge other people's worldviews and assumptions, just be prepared. Prepared, because there will be moments of division. There will be moments of disagreement. There will be moments of confusion. There will be moments of hostility. They might hate you. But trust in God's timing. Trust in the power of His Spirit to do His work. So I just want you to go through, as you go through life and you share Christ, just expect it. Hopefully when you go and start talking about Jesus to somebody, they're ready and they're open. But there may be times where it creates unrest. It creates an uneasiness. And that's really okay. Because as I'm going to say later on, if you know, what's the funnest place in all of this planet? What's the funnest place to go on Earth? What's the funnest place? What do you think? Kids, what's the funnest place to go to on the earth? Disney World, right? That's the place where you go just to enjoy and have a great time. Now, say somebody says, I want to go to this place, but I'm going to drive north to get there. What are you going to do? You're going to say, hey, if you want to get to Disney World or Disneyland, you don't drive north. You'll never get there. And I'll say, yes, I will drive north and I will get there no matter what. I know for sure. And you're like, no, I'm pleading with you. You're wasting your life. You're wasting your energy. Don't go that way if you want to get there. That's the same with eternity. That's the same with heaven. That's the same with being with God. There's one way. It's through Jesus Christ. There's people who think there's all kinds of ways, and we have to be loving enough to say, friend, you won't get there that way. It's through Christ. So welcome the division. Welcome the hostility in grace and kindness and mercy, and wait on God's timing and His Spirit to turn His people. Came up with a catchy phrase. It's not very good. As you share your faith, divisions and hostility may come your way, but Christ and His Spirit will win the day. When you share your faith, hostility, division may come your way, but Christ and His Spirit will win the day. When you share His truth, when you share His message, it will go out, and God will use it to accomplish what He wants to accomplish. He just says, be faithful, be gracious, be loving. We'll look at 4 points as we walk through this text this morning. Let's start at verse 37. Our first point is Jesus is the answer to mankind's longing and questions. He's the answer to the big worldview questions. This is a little review from a few weeks ago. Verse 37, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who had believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. If you recall, Jesus is in this last day of this great feast of booths, this feast of tabernacles. It was a wonderful time of worship, a time of remembrance of God's faithfulness in the past, and a longing and a looking forward with expectancy of God's deliverance of his people all over the world. That water would kind of flow through the earth. It was an image of God's Spirit, this water going through, redeeming, rescuing all his people and his creation. They were longing for these things. And Jesus, in the midst of it, stands up and says, if anyone is thirsty for this kind of water, for this kind of drink, come to me and drink. Jesus says, he is the answer. He is the source of all that is good. He is the source of all of life. He says, come to me. Jesus offers the dry and weary soul relief from sin and misery. He says, come and drink, and water will flow through you. We said last time, think of yourself as a clay pot full of cracks because of sin, full of cracks because of brokenness. But Jesus loves you. He loves you, that pot, and he says, I'll fill you with my Spirit. I'll fill you so you're so full that it'll flow through those cracks, that not only will you be changed and blessed, but it'll go out and make other people wet with his grace. He says, come to me to drink for forgiveness. Come to me to drink for peace. Come to me to drink for eternal life. It's in Jesus. And it's Jesus who is this carpenter's son, where people were looking at him and, it's you? You look like an ordinary man. It's you? And so the people start questioning. They're trying to make sense of these worldview challenges. Jesus is saying, I created you. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He says, I am living water. I am these things. And the people are starting to wrestle with. And it leads us to our second point. Challenging other people's worldviews concerning Jesus will create moments of division. It will. It will create moments of division. Let's begin at verse 40 now. When they heard these words of Jesus, some of the people said, this really is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, is the Christ to come from Galilee? Has not the scripture said that Christ comes from the offspring of David and comes from Bethlehem to the village where David was? So there was a division among the people over him. If you have your own Bible, I would say underline that. So there was a division among the people over him. The people have heard the truth of Jesus and the weight of his message. He says, all you who are thirsty, all you who are longing, he says, come to me and drink. And they're struggling to make sense of who he is, his identity. Is he the Christ? Is he the prophet? Is he the one that Moses was speaking about? Or is he this Christ? See, they thought of these individuals as separate. That the prophet and the Christ would be actually two different people. The prophet would be like Moses sharing the revelation of God. The Christ would be like a royal priest or a royal king like David. Kind of reminds me, if you're familiar with Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus asked the disciples, who do people say that I am? Some people said, some people think you're John the Baptist. Others say you're Elijah. Some think Jeremiah or the prophets. People are wrestling. They're trying to figure out who this Jesus is. And what we see is understanding who Jesus is means that we must learn from him. We learn from his word. For he has all power. He has all authority. His miracles demonstrate his teaching authority. We don't get our information from our own preconceived ideas. Not from what past teachers or preachers or parents, those who may have told the story wrong. We don't trust the History Channel. We don't trust ABC News to find out who Jesus is. You must learn who Jesus is from his word. That's why we have the Gospels. We have so many Bibles in our homes, in our land. We need to read. We can't pour into Jesus our own thoughts, our own preconceived notions and preconceived assumptions. Sadly, we do this all the time. We do it with people that we know. I get up here weekly and I preach to you, and probably you all have created some kind of idea of what I like, what I enjoy, and what I might be like at home. if you really knew me, you'd probably be very, very shocked of what I enjoy, what I do for fun. But we do that all the time. You meet somebody and you see them here and there and you have just developed these preconceived notions. But we can't do that if we really, really want to know them. People do the same thing with Jesus. They think they know him, but if they really listened to him, they looked into his word, oh, they would see a glorious, high and lifted, exalted Savior who came to rescue his people. We must know the Jesus of the Scriptures, of the Word. In regards to this wrestling, is Jesus the prophet, is he the Christ? One of the beautiful things we see is Christ fulfills all the offices of the Old Testament. Jesus is the prophet. Jesus is the priest. Jesus is the king. He's the ultimate of all three major offices in the Old Testament. This is one of the great truths that you find out in the book of Hebrews. He's the great prophet who truly reveals who God is for us. He's our great high priest. He doesn't offer lambs as sacrifices. He offers himself once for all for all of our sins. And he's the eternal king who's ruling and reigning now. Jesus fulfills all these things. It's not separate people. It's all in Jesus. And so for this people, as they're trying to think, there's a division amongst them. They're not sure what to think. And it creates division. Jesus says in Matthew 10, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." And why is that? You know, in one sense, he comes to bring peace for those who trust in him. Sometimes it takes a sword to pierce our souls, to awaken us that we're going the wrong way in our lives, that we're answering all the big questions of who I am, why am I here, how do I get to heaven, and in all the wrong ways, and Jesus will come and blow those thoughts and ideas up. And at the beginning, when that happens to people, it creates confusion, it creates division, and so we can't be confused by that. We can't be shocked by that. We need to be ready for it. It is necessary. As I said, if somebody wants to get to Disneyland or Disney World and they think you need to go north, you say, "Hey, wake up. You'll never get there. You'll never get there if you keep driving north." And the same with heaven, the same with forgiveness. We need to tell them, "Hey, it's in Jesus. There's no other way. It's not in Buddha. It's not in Muhammad. It's not in trying to earn your way or just trying to merit enough works. It is through Jesus." And when you first do that, it's like a sword. It pierces them. It's God uses it to challenge, to start awakening them to the reality of the truth of who Christ is. So just be prepared. Be prepared. Just know it going in. Maybe they'll respond. Maybe they're ready to listen. But when you share your faith, it rocks their world. They're just shocked. And that's okay. And that's okay. The third point we see here is that as you share these truths of Christ, people may resort to hostility and even name-calling. When you share your faith, people may resort to hostility and name-calling. Let's continue on in verse 44. "Some of them wanted to arrest Jesus, but no one laid hands on him. The officers then came to the chief priests and the Pharisees, who said to them, 'Why did you not bring him?' The officers answered, 'No one ever spoke like this man.' The Pharisees answered them, 'Have you also been deceived? Have any of the other authorities or the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed.'" The Pharisees are just completely frustrated. They call the officers deceived. They call this whole crowd that is here enjoying this beautiful Feast of Tabernacles. They basically put them all in one bubble. They say they're all accursed. They don't know anything. They don't know the law. Why are you listening to this crowd? We see the contrast of the people. The Pharisees, they just wanted Jesus to be dead. Arrest him. Kill him. He's a madman. Get him out of here. The officers, they're the guards that were chosen from the Levites to go and arrest Jesus. they're just not brutal thugs. They actually knew the things of God. They studied the things of God, these officers. So when they heard Jesus speaking these things, they were mesmerized. His teaching was so different. It had a ring of truth to it. They're sitting there listening, and he seems trustworthy. When he spoke, it's like his eyes pierced through their souls. They said, no one speaks like him. And they weren't going to arrest him. They knew he was something different altogether. The crowd and the common folk, as we read earlier, some saw him as the Christ, some saw him as the prophet. They're starting to get a clue. This is not just some ordinary man, but it's the common people who are just listening, who are open and receiving Jesus' teaching, that are getting the clue. And it's those who think they have life all figured out, the religious leaders who are blinded to the reality of who Jesus is, and they resort to ridicule and name-calling. They're just deceived. These people out here, they don't know what they're talking about. They're all accursed. They're all damned. They don't know nothing. They tried to shout people down. Sadly, today, our society and our leaders do these same tactics. Rather than having a dialogue, rather than having a discussion, rather than listening, rather than seeking to understand, people will shout others down who believe differently. They will try to shut them up. They will ridicule. They will name call. For the follower of Christ, you are not to resort to these tactics. But you share Christ with grace and love. Yeah, they may call you intolerant. They may call you an idiot, a Jesus freak. They may call you judgmental. But you just go on loving them. Just be prepared for it. They may hate you for a time. But trust in God's Spirit. You always go and talk about Christ with grace and mercy. You see how Jesus, he doesn't respond. He doesn't ridicule. He doesn't name. He just shares the truth of who he is. And so you need to expect that when you're out in this world. This our country, you know, had a basic foundation where they trusted the Bible. They believed the things of Scripture. It's kind of eroded, and they're accepting of all kinds of ideas. And we're called to be tolerant, but when it comes to truth, there is one truth. Jesus is right or he's not. It can't be all these many ways to heaven, all these many ways to salvation. It's Jesus or not. And it's Jesus alone. In the midst of the hostility, in the midst of the name-calling, just love. And the beauty and the grace and the truth of Jesus will break through. We've seen it over and over down through history. No matter the persecution, no matter the hostility, the love of Jesus is an unstoppable force that will reach his people's hearts. It broke through my hard heart. Remember how it broke through your heart. You know, I used to have all kinds of ideas of what life was about and who Jesus was, and boy, they were all wrong. And boy, I'm glad somebody challenged me. And I was frustrated. When they came and challenged me on it, I was angry. I'm like, how dare you? I was brought up to believe this way. How dare you? But oh, I'm so glad they were willing to share. Because in God's grace, and God's Spirit, in his timing, he worked. He worked through their love. He worked through that truth, and he opened my heart. And I know many of you can tell that same story. His love is an unstoppable force. Just be prepared. There might be division for a time. There might be hostility for a time. There might be, you know, just this anger for a time. But trust, pray, and wait on God's Spirit, which leads us to our final point. Remember, it's the Spirit of God and his time that changes people as you invite them to search and see who Jesus is. Trust in God's Spirit and his timing. Look at verse 50. Nicodemus, who had gone to him before, who was one of them, said to them, "Does our law judge a man without first giving him a hearing and learning what he does?" They replied, "Are you from Galilee too? Search and see. No prophet arises from Galilee." In the midst of the confusion, the confrontation, the hostility, Nicodemus shows up. If you remember Nicodemus from chapter 3. Nicodemus, he might be just wanting to be faithful to the law. He's hearing all these things and he challenges his friends, his other Pharisees. Does not our law judge a man without first giving him a hearing? We need to hear him. We need to learn from him. Maybe he's just wanting to be faithful from God. So he challenges his friends. And the Pharisees hear Nicodemus and say, "Are you from Galilee too?" You hear the prejudice? You hear the name call? "Are you from Galilee too?" If you remember Nathanael earlier on in John, when he talked and heard about Jesus, and it was Jesus from Nazareth, he goes, "Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth?" There's just this prejudice against the people of Galilee for whatever reason that these people had. And they go to Nicodemus, "Are you from Galilee too?" No prophets come from there. Sadly, they were mistaken. Jonah, a prophet, God used to rescue a whole bunch of people, a whole city of Nineveh was from Galilee. People think possibly Elijah and Nahum as well. So they just have this prejudice against this area. They have a prejudice. They have this preconceived idea of who Jesus is and who God was, and it was all wrong. And they tell Nicodemus to go see. Well, Nicodemus has been going and seeing. If you remember in John 3, Nicodemus went to Jesus at night and had a conversation with Jesus. He said, "Jesus, boy, the things you do, those miracles, man. We know you're from God because no one could do what you do unless you're from God." And Jesus challenges. He creates division. He takes his truth and starts piercing his soul. He says, "Nicodemus, truly, truly, I tell you, no one can see the heaven, the kingdom of God unless he's born again." Nicodemus is like, "What? Do I have to be born? How can I? I'm old. How can I go back into my mother's womb a second time?" He's, "No, Nicodemus. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit, as the wind moves and goes, so the spirit goes and awakens people, Nicodemus. You see, Nicodemus, the Son of Man, this one in Daniel that everybody's longing for, this one who will rule and reign forever, this strong, mighty figure in the Old Testament, this Son of Man will be lifted up. Just like Moses put the serpent in the wilderness, and that when people were bitten, if they looked at that serpent on a stick, the Son of Man, this great figure, this almighty figure will be lifted up. He's talking about his crucifixion. And whoever believes on him will have eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believed in him would have eternal life. See, Nicodemus, the world is already condemned, but I'm sending my Savior, this Jesus, this Son of Man, to put him on a stick, to lift him up, that would die for your sins, and anyone who looks to him will have eternal life. See, Nicodemus heard all these things from Jesus in John 3, and he's been wrestling through these things, and Jesus is here. And Jesus, he's been seeking Jesus. Perhaps Nicodemus is just trying to do what's right with the law. But I think God's Spirit is working on Nicodemus. He sees something different in Jesus. He's not just a man. And so we must remember, it's the Spirit of God and his timing that changes people. While you invite others to come, see who Jesus is. If the Spirit of God is moving, they will be seeking to know him. They'll want to know, is he the Christ? Is he the God? Is he the prophet? And God's Spirit will draw him. As you talk to people, as you share your faith with people, challenge them in these questions. How did you get here? Why does the world seem so crazy and messed up? Where do you think life is heading? And share Jesus with them. Be prepared. They may be shocked. They may be open. That's great. That'll be easy. And just start sharing your faith. But maybe they'll be like, "What? What are you talking about?" Yeah. And just start using that to share the truth of Christ. Don't let fear, don't let the noise of the crowd drown out your walk with Christ and sharing Christ. Remember, division and hostility may come your way. But Christ and his Spirit will win the day. Share Christ. Share Christ with grace and truth. Be that gracious sword to open up their hearts. Let God use you as an instrument to take this message. It's no good to take this message and just keep it here. It's meant to go. To go into the world, for it's the answer to life's questions. He's made you. You've turned your own way. He's calling you back. He's died on the cross for your sins. Trust in Him. Let Him show you how to live. Let Him show you how to love. It's in Jesus. Share these things. Do it in love. Get to know the person. Enjoy the person. And just let Christ use you. But be prepared. They might be shocked. They might get angry. But trust God's Spirit and His timing. Division and hostility may come your way, but Christ and His Spirit will win the day. You will accomplish what He set it out to accomplish. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that You would help us. We feel like lambs. We feel so weak. We feel so inadequate. But Lord, Your Word is like a lion. Your Spirit is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. So Lord, I pray You would help us to learn these things of Your story, these things that answer life's big questions that we all need to answer, and let us be brave, not prideful, not arrogant, expecting shocked, even division for moments, hostility for moments, but understand their seasons and that You will work through them. Give us wisdom in sharing our faith. When You're opening the door, when You're given an avenue, when we need to open our mouths, let us share this great news. Jesus is risen. He's risen indeed. Our sin can be forgiven. Death can be no more. Eternity with You. We pray that You would help us. In Jesus' name, amen.